How do you do? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And as a child, the woman in this story experienced that truth firsthand. Curses, threats, and abuse heaped on her made her want to die before she was 7 years old. Hers is a difficult story to tell and hear, so parental guidance is suggested due to some of the subject matters contained in this true testimony of Ashley Mariella Kovac and how her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
You're from Colombia, South America?
Yes. Why are you surprised?
Your name doesn't sound Spanish-like, and you're here in America going to college.
I was adopted by an American woman. As soon as I was adopted, my mother changed my name from Mariella Carmona to Ashley Andrews Mariella King.
Oh.
My father died when I was 4. He was a wealthy grocer in Colombia, and he worked very hard delivering produce. One day, he came home after making his rounds, and it was very hot. I could see he was overheated as he jumped off the wagon and plunged his head into a barrel of rusty rainwater. And he never took his head back out.
He died right there?
Yes. I can still remember it.
Oh, what a tragedy. Were you the only child, Ashley?
No, I had a baby brother about 1. My mother was only 19. She married my father when she was 15. He rescued her from the streets like Cinderella, and she was desperate after he died.
Is that when you were adopted?
No. My life was terrible after that because Mom dragged us to nightclubs and the homes of strangers. Day after day, we watched as she got stoned and sold her body for money. Now I know that she was trying to fill the void in her life.
When people don't know Christ as Savior, they try whatever the world has to offer. How long did this go on?
When I was 5 and my brother was 2, Mom left us with her sister. My aunt hated children, especially us, and she beat us. One day, we had to go to the river to do laundry, and I begged to take my brother along, but she refused.
Absolutely not. He has to stay home and take a nap. You're both spoiled rotten. You need to learn that you can't always have your own way. Here, put this basket on your head and get out the door. Now move, you little brat, before I whip you senseless.
Bringing light to a darkening world, this is Unshackled, true life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. From the man who lost his job months ago to the one who lost his way years ago, anyone can be homeless. Anyone. Pacific Garden Mission welcomes each one, offering food, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep. Thanks to friends who care and give financially, the mission also provides medical and dental care in the mission clinic. Pastors and counselors share the good news of God's love, His plan for their lives. And those who turn to Him find new life. That transformation is what this program celebrates. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3041 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
As I was doing the laundry, I heard my brother shrieking above the sound of the river. I was gone 3 hours, and as I walked home, his screams were hysterical. I ran to his room, and my aunt picked him up, but he wouldn't stop screaming. A large safety pin from his diaper was deeply embedded in the side of his stomach. She thrust his swollen body into my arms to comfort him, but it was too late. He painfully looked into my helpless eyes as he died in my arms.
Ashley, what a horrible experience for you at age 5.
My heart turned to stone with hatred. All that I loved was gone, and I wanted revenge. I didn't know about God, but I knew that there was something up in the stars that held the sky up, and I hated him for taking my little brother from me.
Well, what about your mother?
She heard of his death and came. She tried to throw herself into his grave. I was angry with her for leaving us, but
you also loved her.
Yes. I lived with her again, and she dragged me from one man's house to another until we moved in with a man who claimed to love her. He had no love for me. When we met, he whispered in my ear so Mom wouldn't hear.
Little devil, you don't deserve to live. I hate you. You do not deserve the air you are breathing. You hear? You better never cross my path. or I'll kill you.
They took many overnight fishing trips, taking my stepbrother but leaving me alone. Once, as I lifted a big pot of boiling water from the stove, I spilled it all over myself. My screams brought a neighbor who found me on the floor, writhing in agony with second and third degree burns. Another time, they left me for 3 days without food. So I snuck into a neighbor's house who was at church, and I found a pot of stew. I crawled under her bed, and I was so hungry that I ate all of the stew. And then I fell asleep.
I am sure Mariella took the stew. It was right there on the stove when I left. But where did she go? No one's seen her.
I'll find her and the stew. And when I do, I'll make her regret the day she was born.
I have looked everywhere.
Ah, there she is, hiding under the bed with the pot. Come out of there, you little devil.
He dragged me by the hair across the street to our house, where he hung me by the waist using a rope from the ceiling and beat me with a piece of leather.
Stop it, Manny. She's bleeding all over. You'll kill her.
Well, you can take her beating instead.
No, don't hit me, please.
After the beating, he locked me in my room for 3 days to think about what I'd done. I wondered why I was even alive. The beatings came so often, and when my mother tried to interfere, she suffered the same fate. My stepfather abused me in every way imaginable. He even shot at me. The scars on my legs attest to his accuracy.
He shot at you?
Yes. I was on the street one day when I felt like something was wrong. I ran home and found Mom beaten and her face covered with blood. He was pointing a gun at her. I jumped in front of her and screamed, "You'll have to kill me first!" He said he would kill us both. I flung her down and ducked just as the bullet hit the wall.
God protected you. What did the police say?
Columbia is not like here. They wouldn't listen to me. Not until an old lady told them how my stepdad beat us. And then they arrested him.
I hope your mother backed you up.
She was too afraid. She said the bruises on her face were caused accidentally. My stepfather denied everything, and they let him go the next day. He gave me the worst beating of my life.
I'm going to work. But if you're still here when I get home, I'll blow your brains out. You hear?
I'm sorry, Mariella. It wasn't your fault. Just do whatever he says.
I'm leaving, Mom.
No, don't go. I need you here with me.
He'll kill me.
Well, stay in this closet when he comes home and don't make a sound. I don't want him to hurt you, so be a good girl and be quiet.
But what if I sneeze or cough?
We have to try. I don't want to lose you.
When my stepfather discovered me hiding that night, he threw me out of the door onto the street, saying he would kill me if I ever returned. I never went back. I became a beggar, sleeping under newspapers and eating scraps out of trash cans. Once in a while, someone took pity on me and let me into their home, but I always ran away before morning. I didn't trust anyone.
You can trust God, Ashley. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths."
I didn't know God or anything about the Bible, and I didn't want anyone trying to be my family. I was determined to be independent. But one family seemed to care about me, and I felt at ease with them, so I stayed.
How long?
A few months. But I was terrified of their black cat, and one night I dreamed that it ate me. In the morning, I tried to kill it, but the cat won. I was afraid of being whipped for the cat fight, so I hid under the house until they went to church. Later, they said they were taking me someplace where children learned manners and how to live with families. It was a rehab center.
You must have been frightened.
Yes, but I never showed fear, never cried, never showed any emotion.
Oh, God knew your fears.
I know that now. I knew that some people went to church, but I never did, so I didn't know what church was about.
What was the rehab center like?
Full of children. I was one of the last ones registered, so they put me on the top floor of the building. They told me not to enter a certain room on the roof because I could hurt myself. I wanted to die anyway, so I went in and explored. I found a broken rocking chair balanced between two pieces of wood extending out from the side of the second-story roof, and much of the back was missing. I had no reason to live, no family, no friends, no home to call my own. Nobody would miss me. So I sat in the chair, and I leaned back. I fell through the air and landed on a pile of wood that had nails sticking up. They found me, stuck to the wood with the nail so deeply embedded in my back and head that they had to take the wood with me to the hospital. I still have a hollow spot in my head where one of the nails went in.
Ashley!
An ambulance rushed me back to the house of the family who had taken me to the rehab center. They had to bring my body while still attached to the wood. The doctors came to the house and painstakingly worked to remove the wood from my body. I lay there in a coma for 3 months, and my vitals continued to drop. When doctors lost hope and declared me dead, the lady of the house prayed, asking God to spare my life. She wasn't even Christian.
God can use anyone to fulfill his purposes.
Just as she finished her prayer, I woke up and rolled over and began coughing up blood. They soon learned that I was bleeding internally, yet the doctors previously had no clue. Again, I could have died.
God had you covered with his grace all that time.
That was the first time I understood the existence of God. But I wasn't thrilled. He stood between me and death, and I wanted to die, to end the suffering.
He had a different plan, Ashley.
Yes, I'm glad about that now. Even though I had no broken bones, I had to learn to walk and talk and eat all over again. And then my mom came to visit.
Mariella, I'm so glad you survived.
How did you find me?
Oh, the story was in all the newspapers, how you nearly died.
I wanted to die, Mom.
Come home with me.
No, I don't want to go back to that man.
He's changed, Mariella. Come back with me. I've missed you so much.
No, it will be just like before. I don't want to go.
Please, Mariella, don't be like this. Come on, I will carry you.
No, no, I'll never go back to live with him. You're lying. I hate you, and I never want to see you again.
Very shortly, we'll hear the rest of Ashley's story. Many listeners write expressing their desire to draw closer to God, and that's why we offer a Gospel of John Bible study that is completely free. All you need is a Bible and a pen or pencil. There are 6 lessons in all, each one centered around a theme from the Gospel of John. Each lesson consists of questions with references for you to look up and ponder, then answer. You'll be surprised at what you learn and how it applies to your own life. When you finish a lesson, fold it and mail it to us, and we'll send you the succeeding lesson. You don't even need an envelope because each lesson folds into a self-mailing envelope with our address stamped on the back. Each lesson is free. This man who requested the Bible study writes, "The weakest part of my life is Bible study, and I want desperately to change this. I know that I can't truly make a difference for the kingdom without knowing more than just Bible stories." And this woman who requested the Bible study writes, "I am truly blessed to be on the receiving end of what God is doing in your ministry. Thank you doesn't even scratch the surface of the appreciation I feel towards you." To begin the Gospel of John Bible study, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
I never saw my mother again. When I recovered, the family discussed sending me to an orphanage, so I ran away. I took shelter with a family I didn't know one afternoon, and they invited me to stay for supper. Just as the meal ended, there was a knock at the door, and a man stood there claiming to be my uncle.
Mariella, I am your mom's brother. You must come with me now. Your mom sent me. She's very worried about you. She wants you to go with me.
I don't know you.
I know you. I know how your father died suddenly. I know how your mother took you to my sister's home and my sister left your little brother alone. He died from a diaper pin sticking into his belly. I know how your stepfather beat you and threw you out of the house. I'm your uncle, and you must come with me.
Did you go with him?
Yes, he took me to my first orphanage. He told me he'd be back, but he never came. The orphanage put me in a foster home where I only lasted a few hours.
You ran away?
No, they had a daughter who had a doll I wanted. When she wouldn't give it to me, I flung her backwards by her hair. At the next foster home, I lasted for 1 day. I beat up their children.
You had a lot of anger in your heart, but the Lord knew that would change. He knows the end from the beginning.
I liked the third foster home and tried to behave. Even though I hated the children, the parents were nice to me. But they rented a room to a man who tried to molest me. But I kicked him.
Good for you. Did you tell the foster parents?
He threatened me, but one day I was so angry with him, I did tell them. And they made him move out.
Ashley, God can use all these things you endured to help others one day.
But a child doesn't know that. Life with that family was okay until one day the parents were gone and the other children blamed me for something I didn't do.
So you had to leave them?
Yes. Nobody stood up for me, and I was bitter about that.
Nobody stood up for Jesus either. All his disciples fled when he was arrested.
I ended up with a family who really cared about me, and they began the adoption process. But then I was moved to another orphanage and another foster home. I was in 13 different homes and orphanages. The last one was the worst.
It's hard to imagine anything worse.
They had several children of their own and other foster kids. The oldest boys were very abusive. They threw me against the walls and beat me. If I told the parents, they spanked me for tattling. And school was just as bad. A bully and his friends tormented me every day. It was terrible. One day at school, I fought back like a wildcat. I knocked out some of his teeth and broke his jaw.
Oh, remind me never to bully you.
My foster parents gave me a beating I'll never forget.
Even though you were defending yourself?
Yes. And then came the big day. I met my new adoptive mother. She looked like a ghost to me.
What do you mean?
She wasn't Spanish. She was Caucasian. She came with her daughter, whom she adopted from Korea, and we spent a month together in Colombia, getting to know each other. I was sure they would never love me. So one day, I tried to jump off a three-story building. My sister caught me, and my new mom did something that shocked me.
What?
She spanked me, saying she loved me and didn't want to lose me. No one had ever spanked me. I was always beaten, and nobody ever said they loved me.
God always loved you.
On the flight to America, Mother's Day, 1986, I vowed to change. By then, I was almost 10, but my heart was so full of hate and fear, I tested Mom's love for me constantly. I screamed at her in Spanish and laughed when she spanked me for disobedience.
Did she take you to church?
Every week. The very first summer, she sent me to Bible camp, where I began hearing the Word of God. But I didn't understand English that well, so most of the time, I didn't know what it meant. At home, I went to a Bible program at the church that helped me memorize Scripture.
God was working out his plan for your life.
Gradually, I stopped laughing when she spanked me. The battle of wills diminished.
What about school?
I excelled as I learned English. In 1988, I went to Bible camp again, and one night, the speaker talked about hell.
Let me tell you, kids, hell is a real place, a place of darkness and torment, a place reserved for Satan and those who rebel against God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, beware, rebellion is a big deal with God. Be afraid, be very afraid of hell." Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." God doesn't send anyone to hell. We choose to go there when we reject his free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son, who died for our sins. God himself provided a way out of hell for us, a way of eternal life instead of eternal separation and eternal damnation.
I had never heard the gospel like this, and the times which I may have heard it, I did not understand what it meant. I listened horrified and pondered the torments of hell. I had already lived a life of misery. Why would I want to spend eternity like that? The next night, he spoke about Jesus.
"Listen to me. It was your sins that nailed Jesus to the cross. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What does that mean? It means Jesus took on your sins on the cross, your vile sins, because the penalty for sin is death. So the Son of God veiled his divinity and came to earth to die in your place. And when you repent of your sins and place your faith in him, God transfers the purity and righteousness of Jesus Christ to you. You are washed in his blood. and you receive the gift of God's forgiveness, the gift of eternal life in heaven with Him. Why did God do this? He did it simply because He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
I lay in bed that night and battled in my mind His words, the choice He presented. I tried to understand these wonderful words. Could they apply to a wretch like me? Finally, about midnight, I woke up my counselor and asked her to explain to me why this Jesus would die for me.
Yes, Jesus was perfect. He lived a life without any sin. That's how He died for our sins, not His.
I don't understand. Why would He do something like that for someone as wretched as me?
Ashley, salvation has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Christ. It's all about God's grace and His love for you. Nobody deserves salvation. Nobody. God does not save someone because of who they are, but rather because of who He is. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ died for the ungodly. It's a gift. Just take it."
Truth so simple yet so profound. As soon as I understood, I repented for my sins and asked Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I became a new creature. For the first time in my life, I cried tears of joy. A year later, a missionary came to our church, and my heart felt compelled to tell the gospel to others in a foreign land. Perhaps I could one day share the gospel with my mother. I had prayed for her every day since my salvation. I went home that night and talked to the Lord about my decision. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." I don't have much to offer you, Lord, but what I have is yours to use whichever way you see fit.
So you were called to the missions when you were a teenager?
12.
In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus conveys the same concept you read from Jeremiah chapter 29. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
I was seeking, and yet I struggled for the assurance of salvation.
Why?
I never felt loved, so the concept that God loves me sometimes is challenging. But I have His word to confirm how much He loves me. Somehow I don't feel like I fit into the family, even though they've done everything to make me feel loved. My emotions were so damaged before I came into their lives. A lady lived with us, a friend of my mother, and she didn't like me. Whenever she had a disagreement with my mother, she blamed me.
Your character was strengthened by all these encounters, Ashley.
A deacon in our church could see that I was troubled, and he helped me to accept my weakness and those of others.
Do you still struggle with the assurance of salvation?
Sometimes the thought comes to mind. I just don't feel worthy of God's love.
Let me show you something. Through faith in Christ, we are all partakers of the divine nature. He has given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, but also to assure us that we are born again. You are a new creature in Christ, Ashley. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3. "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ."
I started Bible college to become a missionary in 1996 and met Paul the very first day, my very first class. I couldn't imagine at the time that I would tell him my life story in just a few days. I sat near the front of the class and decided to introduce myself to one guy who was very friendly. Then I turned to Paul.
You can call me Damien, Dana, Paul. If you don't like any of those, then you don't have to talk to me at all.
Do you always have such a sassy mouth on you? He was so rude that I decided not to talk to him anymore. But the next day, after class, he asked me to go to the snack shack with him, and I accepted. That's when I told him all about my life, something I had never done. I didn't know why I felt so comfortable telling him such intimate details about me. We became friends, and I was impressed with his love for the Lord.
Are you dating anyone?
Yes, a guy back home. He isn't saved yet, though.
Ashley, if you ever want to do anything with your life for the Lord, then you must break off this unhealthy relationship. The believer shouldn't seriously date an unbeliever. God tells us not to be yoked together with them.
I know you're right, but it won't be easy. Yet I know I should end this relationship. I will call him tonight. Pray for me because I know this will be even harder for him. I fell in love with Paul as my faith and love for God's word grew through our studies at the Bible college. We married in 1998 and life was wonderful. Paul was so patient with me. In 2000, we took a mission trip and confirmed our calling to the mission field. Our first child was born the next year, and we continued to attend Bible college along with our job schedules. Finally, we graduated in 2002. Today, we have 6 children, including twins, and serve as missionaries in Brazil. Through the years, we've tried to find my mother in hopes that my last words spoken to her can be changed. Who would have guessed that a homeless child that nobody seemed to want would someday be serving the creator of the universe, the savior of the world?
Do you know him, listening friend? He came to save you, to give you new life. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." If you recognize your lost condition, tell God, and then ask Jesus to save you. There are no special words. God looks on your heart. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. Don't keep these life-changing stories to yourself. Tell others when and how to listen. And please, remember to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 3041. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know you listen, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-492-9410.